Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, so said Edmund Burke. But friends, there is a popular adage now in our society that goes something like this: forget the past, don't worry about the future, just live in the present. Well, there's certainly some truth to that statement. Perhaps far too many of us live defined by our bad choices that we've made in the past, when that shouldn't be the case. After all, each day is a new day that brings present opportunities to become a better person or start down a new road destined for a new future. And of course, that is especially true in Jesus Christ. But those of us who choose to simply forget the past miss out on its fullest potential, because there are valuable lessons to be learned from the past. And those who choose to ask the right questions about their past are the ones that are most prepared to live a life to the fullest in the present. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Dave Kistler, and I'm joined today by Sam Rohrer and Gary Dahl. And this is going to be our topic of discussion today: remembering, but remembering what? Just recently, I read an interesting article that said we need to remember these things. Number one, the strengths that define us, the weaknesses that frustrate us, the causes that energize us, the relationships that inspire us, the temptations that trip us, and the motivations that compel us. And while all of those things are outstanding things to remember, most of that was coming in the article I read from a secular viewpoint. But what does the Bible say about what we should remember? Well, that's going to be our focus on the program today. Hebrews 13:7 says to remember those who are leaders. And it's talking about spiritual leaders whose faith we need to follow. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13 adds that we are to hold in high regard those leaders who are our spiritual leaders because of the work they do. Now, while I know the context of both of those passages is, as I said, spiritual leadership, there is a principle there that is being communicated that I believe is universal. And we need to remember not just our spiritual leaders, we need to remember all of those who serve us. And so today on the program, one of my dear friends and partners in ministry, Dave Carter, is going to be our guest, and I'm going to welcome him to the program momentarily. But Dave is an assistant pastor at his father's church in Burlington, North Carolina. The name of the church is Baptist Temple of Alamance. He is also chaplain for the Alamance County Sheriff's Department in Burlington, as well as our youth and outreach coordinator at Hope Ministries International. David, I want to welcome you to the program today. Thank you for being on Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, it's a delight to have you aboard. David, I know you and your father and your church do an outstanding job remembering and recognizing and honoring firefighters, EMTs, public servants in your area every year at a special service that you guys conduct. You always do it around the 9/11 anniversary. And just this past week, you held that special service. And I think it's appropriate that we talk about that because we've just come through the 9/11 anniversary. David, why do you guys do this for your public officials? And why is it that you do it around the 9/11 anniversary?
Yes, Dave. We want our first responders to know first and foremost that we care and that our church and community appreciate them. We select the time around 9/11 because prior to that, we had honored our first responders for years. But after 9/11, there was an outpouring of support for our first responders. So we chose it as the time to bring church and community supporters together to show and honor and remember those who lost their lives on that day.
Well, let me ask you this, David. How long have you guys been doing this? And what has been the response of the community to this this outreach that you guys have to them?
We began this event the year following 9/11, and the response originally was about 10 to 20 community supporters, businesses and restaurants, who wanted to participate in those first initial years. But since then, all the years later, we now have 80 to 100 supporters, big name supporters like Walmart, McDonald's, Cracker Barrel, Texas Roadhouse, and many, many more who consistently support this. And many of those restaurants and business owners themselves actually come out to our church on the day of this event, and they work right alongside with us, with our church members.
David, that is outstanding. Talk a little bit about what happened this last service that you guys did. Talk a little bit about the response, the number of people that attended, because I know in times past you have had hundreds of EMTs, firefighters, public officials from your area, law enforcement. You've had hundreds of these folks attend.
Yes, sir. Every year it has grown. We average no less than 300. We have had as many as 400, and that's a pretty large group for the size of our county. They are all first responders. We also invite the Army Recruitment Office, the Marine, the Navy, the Air Force Recruitment Offices. The judicial system comes. Some of our local dignitaries and officials come as well. The response has been overwhelming, especially from the community. We have a lot of first-timers supporters every year that hear about it and want to become a part of it and join in. And when I say join in, like I mentioned a minute ago, they actually come out, show up with our volunteers, and they work from morning till mid-afternoon when the event is done. Many of these are restaurant owners or business managers or owners, and they're cleaning tables and serving iced tea, and they're helping clean and do various things to show our first responders that they support them.
Well, David, what you're sharing is really a great thing. I know that Gary, who, if you have time, he's going to ask a question, but he does this kind of thing at his church. I've been a part of a lot of those things as well, and they're very, very helpful. My question for you right now is, what are some residual benefits that you have seen from honoring those kind of folks in this kind of a setting? What have you seen in your congregation? What have you seen in the community as a result of you at the church taking the lead in doing this?
Well, absolutely, several things. I think some of our church members hope if they get pulled that they'll remember that they waited on them at this event and not give them a ticket. But I don't think that works all the time. Actually, on a serious note, Sam, the collaboration between the church and the community, the supporters of this, just that collaboration, joining the first responders with the community and with the church, and everyone sort of intertwined together, not only at this event, but then when we go to another event, and I had one yesterday, I see some of the same people there, and just the response is so positive. And we see how much we can do together when we join forces instead of separating out factions within the community.
Well, friends, you're listening to David Carter. He is assistant pastor at Baptist Temple of Alamance, also chaplain for the Alamance County Sheriff's Department. David, thank you for what you're doing and remembering those that serve our community so well. And friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to continue this discussion on remembering. But remembering what? As we go to the heart of this topic, examining the very most important thing that we need to remember. Join us for this discussion after the break.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? 500 bucks. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your healthcare, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other healthcare plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. A couple in their 90s were both having problems remembering things. And during a checkup, the doctor told them they were all physically okay, but might want to start writing things down just to help them remember. Well, later that night, while watching television, the man gets up from his chair, said to his wife, "Do you want anything from the kitchen?" She said, "Well, will you get me a bowl of ice cream?" "Sure," he said. "Don't you think you should write it down so you can remember it?" she said. He said, "No, I can remember it." And then she said, "Well, I'd like some strawberries on top too. Maybe you should write that down so you don't forget that." He says, "I can remember it. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries." And then the wife says, "Well, I'd also like some whipped cream. I'm certain you'll forget that, so write it down." Irritated, the husband said, "I don't need to write it down. I can remember it. It's ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream. I've got it, for goodness sake." Then he toddles over into the kitchen. After about 20 minutes, he returns from the kitchen and hands his wife a plate full of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment and says, "I knew you wouldn't remember. You forgot my toast." Well, friends, it can be humorous to forget some things, but it's anything but humorous to forget other things. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this: "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And we're talking on the program today about remembering, but remembering what? So what is it that's most important to remember? It's God Himself. And so I want to ask Sam a question of you, because I find this to be very, very intriguing, what's going on within the current administration. On Sunday, President Trump and members of his cabinet bowed their heads in prayer. And of course, that prayer was led by Vice President Mike Pence, as they all met at Camp David in Maryland. And the meeting was being held to discuss federal preparations for Hurricane Irma, who was coming ashore as a Category 3 hurricane in Florida. And in the opening remarks of the cabinet meeting, President Trump expressed condolences for the victims of the hurricane, also said some things about the victims of Harvey down in Louisiana and Texas. And he said this statement, which I found to be very intriguing. He said, "All of America continues, I must say, to pray for the families affected by Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, which looks like it's going to be a really bad one, but we're prepared." He went on and said this: "We're as prepared as you can be for such an event that I can say. All of America grieves for those who have already lost their lives." And then he tweeted one last word of encouragement to the residents in Florida who were in Hurricane Irma's path. And he said, "The U.S. Coast Guard, FEMA, and all federal and state people, brave people, are ready. Here comes Irma. God bless everyone." So, Sam, once again, the president and vice president are turning their attention and the attention of the nation heavenward by having a prayer meeting. In actuality, they're doing it precisely in response to what Ecclesiastes 12 says, and that's remembering God. Now, Sam, obviously, this, I think, is significant, but how significant is this, both from God's perspective as well as from the nation's perspective?
Well, Dave, I think it's very significant for two reasons. One, we often refer to the president as having the bully pulpit. And in the United States, the position of the president, that office, is really, at this point in time anyways, also a primal leadership position for the world. As long as the United States has the capacity that it now has, economically, militarily, we really are the leader of the world. And so for the president to make a statement that at a time of need calls people to look heavenward, looking to God, is exactly what that bully pulpit should do from the standpoint of the people properly, not government first, but God first. And then secondarily, then I think, Dave, there is something reflective in this that God hears when a nation responds in this way. And I put in this category the example of Nineveh itself. When Jonah went into Nineveh and preached repentance to that ungodly nation, it was led by the king, the president at that point, who took the lead. Now, that king has gone certainly much further than President Trump has, because that king went into fasting and sackcloth and ashes and went and really, really demonstrated a humility in repentance to the God of heaven. What the president has done in this kind of setting has not gone thus far, and I would pray that we would, because we have to get to that point, if I think, for God really to hear. But Dave, what he did was he did what was appropriate. He called out to the God of heaven, and he said to the American people, by his example, this is what ought to be done. It was the right thing to do, Dave.
Let me ask this then. Genesis 9, verses 14, 15, and 16 says this: "It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth," and by the way, this is God speaking, "that the bow will be seen in the cloud," talking about a rainbow, "and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh." So in other words, God said after the flood in Noah's day, "I'm putting in the sky a rainbow as a reminder that I am remembering an agreement I've made with you, Noah, but not just with you, with every living creature on the earth, that never again will the earth be destroyed by water." Now, we have just come through some tremendous Atlantic hurricanes that have affected us in a big way. But despite all the destruction, devastation, it's nowhere near a global flood. So God has kept his word. Gary, I would love for you just to talk a little bit about when we remember God, God remembers us. And so talk about that a little bit, because I think it's highly important and highly significant.
Well, that's absolutely true, Dave. When we remember God, God remembers us. And, you know, aren't you thankful for the fact that we have a president who is asking people to call upon God and to remember that we have a God who brought this nation together? How many times have we heard him say we are one nation under one flag, under one God? That's very refreshing, at least from my point of view. But when it comes to remembering God or calling upon God and God's response to that, I think of two verses, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 33:3, God said to Jeremiah, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That's God's promise to us. That's God's command to us. He says, "You call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you things that you would not even be able to imagine otherwise." So when God is remembered as we call upon him, he will answer us. And then you go over to the New Testament, to the book of James, and chapter 4 and verse 8, we've got this tremendous promise: "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And so whether it is a person or an institution or a church or a nation that calls upon God, God's promise is, "I will call unto you. I will answer your prayer. I will draw nigh unto you." And that's, I think, an explanation of what we mean when we say that when we remember God, he remembers us with his blessing, with his answers to prayer, and with his provision. That's a good thing, David.
Well, Gary, I agree. It is a very good thing. And, gentlemen, I want to bring up something in the couple of seconds we have left. Over the weekend, the president tweeted something that he said churches should not be exempt from federal reimbursement if they open up their facilities for disaster relief and take in evacuees and so on. And it's created a little bit of a firestorm on social media as to whether churches should be even seeking reimbursement. But what I found to be interesting, Sam, is this, that the president made this statement in the tweet that churches should not be discriminated against merely because they're churches. Now, we can debate whether or not they should get the, you know, federal reimbursement. But again, here is the president acknowledging God. He's acknowledging the position, the rightful position of churches, and that what's been going on for so long in America, where churches, merely because they're religious, have been discriminated against, that should not take place. What do you think about that? Because I think that is a good thing because it shows the heart of our president.
Well, I think it does, Dave. And I think here the discussion really is, you know, is whether or not it is a discrimination, but by those who are saying you cannot, I'm going to turn it around and say for many who are having an issue with that request by the president, I flip it around and saying, wait a minute, but what you're also doing is you're denying giving praise and credit to those who actually have played a critical role. So the churches in Houston and so forth are playing a critical role. The government is not the primary one. Yeah, well, they're doing their thing. They're taking people's tax dollars and handing it out. That's what they're doing. But the real help of lasting is coming from the churches, Dave. And I think what the president's doing by saying that is calling credit to the churches who believe in God, who were actively involved in praying and so forth, in fact, doing what they did. And I call this out in one quick contrast here. I'm looking at an article right now that says down in Florida, they're saying that the Weather Service had estimated damage of $200 billion. It ended up being $50 billion. And I'm looking here at the lead weatherman who says the reason for this change and a slight shift of the hurricane 20 miles, he says, quote, the credit goes to the Bermuda High, which acts like a sort of traffic cop, period. Dave, the credit didn't go to God. No one's giving the credit to God, giving the credit to the Bermuda High as the police cop in the ocean. Dave, this is the problem. The president's doing the right thing by calling attention to those who are actually there doing the job.
That hurricane took a westward turn because people prayed that God would have mercy, and I believe he did. Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to talk more about remembering, but remembering what? There are some things that we should forget, other things we need to remember. What are those things when it comes to personal offenses committed against us? We're going to talk about that a whole lot more after this very brief break.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. In addition to your daily listening to this program, there's a new way that you, your friends, your family can stay updated with all that's going on with respect to this program, the guests that we're going to have on, and a host of other issues. So, Sam, would you share with our listening audience about this new opportunity that we have?
Well, if he can't, I can, Dave.
Well, Gary, that's great. I think Sam disappeared for a second, but Gary, share that if you would.
Yeah, certainly. It's called Join by Text, and works this way. And, of course, if you follow through with this, why, You will be alerted of upcoming events and promotions, or even receive more information about the American Pastors Network that is available. And so here's what you need to do, and we would encourage you to do that. Simply text the word STAND to 44144. That is STAND to 44144. Now, when you do that, you'll immediately receive a text replying, asking for your email address. And then once you reply with your email, you'll receive another immediate text reply with links to download our APN app from the Apple Store or from Google Play, either one. Now, once you download and open the app, there's a sign-up option at the top where you can sign up to receive our weekly email updates, and you'll get a lot of information there. So it's pretty self-explanatory. Once you text the word STAND, S-T-A-N-D, to 44144, do it. You'll receive information from us. You'll be able to keep in contact with us. I think it'll be advantageous to you.
Gary, thank you so very much. And friends, I want to encourage you to do what Gary's admonished you to do. Follow this, get this opportunity to be updated on a very regular basis with all that's going on with the program. And we don't often talk about this, but the Lord has blessed the program. It's being used in a powerful way across the country. And almost daily, I hear from people via email, text, phone call that say they listen to the program and what a blessing it is. And they thank us regularly for what they call a courageous stand for truth and speaking up on behalf of righteousness and trying to bring, as we verbalize many times on the program, a thoroughly biblical and constitutional perspective to all the things that are going on in our world. Well, friends, if you're just joining us, we're discussing this topic today, remembering, but remembering what? We've all heard this said, we're to forgive and forget if an offense has been committed against us. But is that really possible? In fact, is it even biblical? Gary, we know that God forgives and actually possesses the ability to forget. In other words, not to remember. In fact, the scripture says he remembers our sins and iniquities against us no more. Talk about, if you would, Gary, the responsibility Christians have to forgive offenses. And then I want you to talk about, is it really possible for us to actually forget or not remember a trespass that's been committed against us? And then we're going to come back and use that as a springboard to talk about something we're not to forget, but I think we're supposed to remember.
David, this is a very, very important subject and a significant question. You know, forgiveness is a part of the Christian life simply because of the fact that Christ, God through Christ, has forgiven us of all of our sin, all of our sin. And, of course, we are to follow in that same way by forgiving others who've sinned against us. Just three thoughts I want to share with our listeners this afternoon concerning this idea of forgiveness. We know, number one, that forgiveness is a command. And it's a command based upon what Christ did for us, Dave. You know, you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 32, where it says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted," and then it says, "forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In other words, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven every one of us of all of our sins, then we are morally obligated as Christians to forgive others as well. And unfortunately, many Christians don't forgive. They carry grudges, and boy, does that divide families. That divides churches. That divides the body of Christ. We are to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Secondly, forgiveness is a command with a benefit, a command with a benefit. Back in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, we remember that the Lord Jesus was teaching on how to pray, and he followed through with saying this in verse 14, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." It's an interesting thing. And I think that really what that's talking about is the concept of forgiveness as it relates to a practical relationship with God. In other words, as God has forgiven us, when we forgive others, then we are going to be able to maintain a good relationship with God. But also the concept of forgiveness is a command with a warning. Because in verse 15, Jesus says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so the fact of the matter is, if we don't forgive others, we are bearing sin in our lives, Dave. That's the sin of not forgiving. And bearing sin in our lives means that it's going to hinder our walk in relationship with the Lord. So when we don't forgive others, we are not only putting a breach between us and them, but we're also putting a breach between us and God. And on your question on the idea of forgetting, I can only say what I've experienced in my life, and that is this, that when I've been willing to forgive, that has led me to forget the offense. I mean, I can say that wholeheartedly, that when I've been willing to forgive others, that has led me to forget the offense so that I never bring it up again. That's just something practical from my own personal life.
Well, Gary, I appreciate you laying the foundation. I was hoping you would do it precisely the way you did, because it brings up this question. Sam, yesterday on the program, Isaac asked me about the appropriateness of holding what we call remembrance services, and a lot of them took place across the country yesterday. We did a portion of the service last evening where I'm speaking this week, remembering the horrific events of 9/11. And some have said that those type of remembrance services are not only inappropriate, they're wrong, because, again, we are to forgive and forget things like that as Christians. So, Sam, what about that? Are we as a nation actually implored to not remember those kinds of things? Or should we remember when that type of an offense has been committed against us as a nation?
Well, Dave, like we do on this program often, and we've had this kind of a discussion in regard to matters of borders, immigration, and some things of that type. There is a body of those who out there who hold religious credentials, quote unquote, who are saying that you open your borders, you let anybody in, it's all forgiveness, it's all open your arms, all of that kind of thing. And some of them who are also saying you shouldn't be remembering these events. And Dave, the problem with that is that this is not what the Bible says. You got to take it into context. What Gary was so very clearly saying was about forgetting and forgiving. Those are termed to personal offenses. Personal offenses. My neighbor next door, my friend, my family. These are things that we forgive and then we can forget. But God is very, very clear. The whole purpose of memorials, we've spoken to that event, Dave, at that issue of memorials, where God says that when you see, and he told Israel to build memorials, when you see them, look back and say, how was this event? Or how was this person involved in relationship to God? God said, here's an event, look back and say, what did God do? What role did God play? Did God say to the people of Israel, forget that Egypt ever happened? Did he tell them to forget that they were in bondage to Egypt? No, it was all to glorify, to really signify the power of God over those matters of sin and evil, and to say that the victory obtained in God through Jesus Christ really overcomes all of those things. That's where we should be going, Dave. So if we neglect the examples of evil, if we are to forget that Hitler did what Hitler did to the Jews, if we are to forget what happened on 9/11, Dave, we do it to our own harm, and it's not what the Bible says. That's a national offense that should call for a national recognition, and it is not the same as what we talk about on a personal matter of a personal offense and the forgiving that comes with that.
Gary, it sounds like what Sam is saying is basically this, and I'm going to cite Deuteronomy 25, where God said this, I remember what Amalek did to you as you were passing through their country. They came in behind you and they took advantage of your weak and your infirmed. And I remember, God says, what Amalek did to you. So is there not, Gary, a time when we need to remember? I mean, never forget the unrighteous acts committed against our nation, but to remember them with an appropriate and fitting anger so that they are not allowed to happen again. And 9/11 would be a classic example of that, don't you think?
Well, that's absolutely true. And of course, I think that we need to put this whole discussion in the context of lawlessness. You know, what happened to us in 9/11 was an act of lawlessness against this nation. as we talk about illegal immigration, that's an act of lawlessness against this nation. And the fact of the matter is, you know, as it relates to national relationships with others, certainly we need to remember those who have brought evil against this nation and deal with it in not just a fair way, but a just way, Dave.
Well, friends, we probably should at some point talk about interpreting the scripture in its context, and that has been referred to already in this segment. But friends, let's not be deceived by those who take the scripture out of context and say we forget these evils committed against our nation, because that is not what we're to do. And when we come back, we're going to tie all this together in what we call our solution segment in 2 minutes after this very brief I'm out.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, from the removal of Confederate statues to the refusal to really acknowledge the horrific events of 9/11, there is obviously across our nation an increasing attempt to remove from our memory the history of our nation. The Bible has much to say about this. In fact, Psalm 143, verses 5 and 6, David said this, "I will remember the days of old. I will meditate on all thy works. I will muse on the work of thy hands. I will stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as in a thirsty land." And so, friends, we dare not forget. Some things, yes, we do dismiss and forget. And Gary laid it out in the last segment. Personal offenses committed against us, we forgive those. And over the process of time, even the most hurtful events can begin to fade into distant memory. And as Gary so powerfully said, actually be forgotten. But some things we don't need to forget. And that is God's great works in our lives. And even those things that we deem negative, where God's tried to get our attention, we don't need to forget that at all. Sam, let me go to you and ask you this. I think this remembering, vividly remembering, refusing to forget things like 9/11 and what happened there, I think all of that is tied directly to what God wants to do in this country, what we've been praying for a long time, many of us, and that is revival in the United States of America. Yesterday, as I was remembering the 9/11 events, I was also going back and reading through and just reminding myself again of some of the great moves of God that had taken place in the United States of America and how that at times of crisis in this country, God brought forth spiritual renewal and spiritual revival. So, Sam, don't you think that this refusal to forget is part of this element that will ultimately one day, we pray, lead to revival?
Dave, I actually absolutely do. And again, on this point, as we're trying to summarize in this last segment, remembering is something that God made our mind to do. We remember things. As Gary said, not remembering certain things, personal offenses, is preceded by forgiving. You're not going to not remember them unless you have forgiven those personal things. But God has made our mind to remember. The question is, what are we remembering? If we don't put certain things into our mind, or we don't have certain things emphasized to us that are important from God's perspective, we're still going to remember things. but we're not going to remember the right things. I'm looking at a verse here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. God said to the people when they went into the land, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto you by the fathers to this day." It's all about God. And so therefore, remembering is all about God, the role that he played, our part, all of that. So God said, remember the good things, the blessings. And it's a, boy, it's a reminder to us in this nation today. We should be saying, where'd all this stuff come from that God took away for so many in these between Texas and the fires out west in Florida? Those things that went washing out to sea were things that God gave. Well, are we responding that way? God giveth, God taketh away. But there's another one here, Deuteronomy 9:7, where God says, remember and don't forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. In that day you departed, when you came out of Egypt, you departed from there, but you also departed from me. So God says, don't forget the days you walked away from me and you encountered difficulties, but do remember the days when I blessed you and that all that you have came from me. Dave, that's all about what we choose to remember, and it all revolves around who God is and what he has done.
Well, gentlemen, we are now about a month removed from an eclipse where the sky became dark. We are about 2 weeks removed from catastrophic flooding in Texas, and we are now just several days removed from Hurricane Irma. We're also just days removed. In fact, we're not totally removed from these fires that are taking place in the Northwest United States. So, Gary, Sam brought up a great point. We should remember these tragic events that are God's, I believe, visible and very upfront reminder that America has turned its back on him. And if we remember these things appropriately, remembering, as Sam said, it is about God, it is about what he wants to do in our life, then this can be a facilitation for what I have been praying, you've been praying, Sam's been praying, many have been praying about for a long time, and that's revival in our country. Talk, if you would, Gary, in just the minute and a half we have before we have to go to prayer, talk about how pastors need to bring this in front of their people and remind them so that congregations don't forget God's attempts to get our attention.
But I think one of the things we need to do is remember that remembering our failures helps us to have victory in the present and in the future. Remembering our failures in the past will help us to have victory in the present and in the future. I certainly do believe that God is directing the weather. He's directing those fires out west. You know, he's in control. And he does all of this based upon Nahum 1:3 and other passages to reveal himself. And so I think it's very important for pastors to remind their congregations that God is causing, allowing, and directing these things to happen so that we might turn our face back to him. But I want to just throw something in here. You know, there's been a lot of emphasis in the past couple of months about doing away with the various monuments to remind us of our past. When we look back into the Civil War and why that Civil War occurred, none of us like the circumstances that surround us, particularly the concept of slavery. None of us like that. But those monuments help us to remember what our nation went through at that time so that we will not get involved with it again. And I kind of thought it was funny. Just this morning, I was watching the news, and Peter Ducey was down in Jacksonville. And as he was there, he pointed to a statue of Andrew Jackson standing in the midst of flood water. And I had to chuckle at that. People are trying to take those monuments away from us. And yet, God, I think, can use those monuments to remind us of our failures so that we don't repeat history and go back into things such as slavery again in the future. And so I just had to chuckle at that, and I wanted to share that with you, that people are trying to take away these monuments. God says, look, here's Andrew Jackson in the middle of the flood. Is there a lesson for you to learn from that?
Well, again, I want to go back to the statement I opened the program with, and it's, again, attributed to Edmund Burke. Some say it was actually someone else that said it, but a lot of people say it was Edmund Burke that initially made the comment, and that is this: those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. And friends, we dare not forget God's gracious works in our lives individually and in our national life. We dare not forget God's disciplinary actions in our individual lives and in our national life, because those are, as Gary said, motivations not to duplicate, not to repeat the failures of the past, but to yield our lives solely, completely, fully to the God of heaven. So, Sam, how about taking us to the throne of grace in prayer and pray that we will learn and remember what we need to remember that's vitally important with respect to God's works in our lives, so that God's blessing can rest in the future.
Heavenly Father, as we close this program, we recognize the importance of remembering, and we recognize, Lord, the importance of remembering you, your hand, and what you've done. You are just, but you are merciful, Lord, to those who repent. We acknowledge our dependency on you now in this nation and on this program. Lord, take and go beyond us in this day. May you be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, friends, join us 23 hours from now for our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today. Till then, stand up for truth where you are, remembering God's goodness in your life.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.